Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Your Honor.
This is Dumpty Dum, sponsored by managers.
This is Dumpty Dum, a podcast about the Archers and the goings-on of Ambridge. It's P and M here, Philippa Hall, the chicken with a hat on, and Mally Harris, our very own Natasha Archer, with her fruit juice empire. Welcome to Dumpty Dum, Mally.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled. I'm really excited.
Well, and we can't forget you lot, struggling to get the Velcro off from under your bow ties, our lovely Dumpty Dummers. Now, this week's wonderful Morse Dumpty Dum tune was from Stephen. And can I just tell you that the Morse code on the tune actually spells out the Archers. So that's incredible. And on this episode, we're lucky enough to hear contributions from God Squad Mia, Katar Employment Law Bot, Rob, Stephen, Catherine Witherspoon, Brian, Catherine with a Y, Richard and his sister Helen, Purple Pumpkin, Marina and Anon of Ambridge, plus Tweet of the Week, Facebook Roundup and Dumpty Book Dum Item, this time with author Alexandra Potter. Marvellous. Well, Mally, you are very, very welcome here. How are you today?
I'm very well. I'm rested. I had quite a leisurely morning, so I'm raring to go.
Well, there's lots of calls. And just in case we've got new listeners, Mally, of course, can't tell us what's going to happen in the script, even if she knows. Mally, are you aware of how many people discuss and dissect the Archers?
Yeah, I think at the beginning when I joined, I was kind of like, oh, everybody's very excited about everything. And then I was kind of looking into things. And then I actually thought, actually, it's probably safer to step back from social media and just do my job and have fun. But yeah, I truly understand and appreciate how passionate the fans are. You know, there are members of my own family that are huge fans, so I totally understand. I get it.
What did they think when they heard you'd got the part?
My mum was absolutely thrilled. It's a bit of a sad tone, but my mother-in-law passed away nearly 10 years ago and she was one of the biggest Archers fans. So she never knew that I would end up in the Archers. Wendy Gravel would have been thrilled had she been on this planet still. But it's a big part of lots of people's lives. So I'm really honoured to be a part of it.
What surprised you most about being on the Archers? Was there anything that was just completely unexpected?
I think the most unexpected thing is that they gave me a job. That was quite unexpected. And then, like, how genuinely lovely everybody is. Because it's like a long-term thing. You never know how long you're going to be doing it for. It's not like a, you know, a normal job, if you like, where they say, okay, the contract is going to be 3 weeks or 6 months. Yeah. Or you don't know. It's kind of goes on, hopefully, on and on, hopefully. Cross fingers. But, the people are just magnificent. And because your lives go on, because it's, you know, how's your mum? How's your son doing? What's going on with your daughter? Like, how's that wedding? You know, it literally is like a family, and the community around it is just fantastic. So, yeah, I wasn't expected to A, get the part, or B, a part of such a wonderful crew of people.
So how did you get the part? Was it something you specifically auditioned for?
Well, I knew Alison Hindle from doing some radio stuff in Cardiff when I was younger. And she reached out, and I went up for a casting of Yvette initially. I don't know the character name.
Yes, Rex's previous love, yes.
Oh, okay. So I went up for that, and I was so excited, and I went up to the mailbox in Birmingham, and I was just really nervous, and I didn't get the job. And I thought, oh, I'm really gutted, because I would really genuinely love to be a part of the Archers. And I kind of, you know, as you do as an actor, you put it in your backpack and you move on. And then all of a sudden, I think it was a few years later, they just called and said, do you want to play somebody called Natasha at the time. She's kind of a love interest for Tom. And I thought, yeah, that's great. But when I started, I had no idea that she, you know, she would stay as long as she has so far.
Well, the minute you heard she was marrying an archer, were you like, yes, that's it, some security?
Not at all. I don't think as an actor you ever feel secure, but I'm really blessed with Will. We get on as human beings as well, you know, so Will Troughton, who plays my husband. So it's a real honour. It's a real honour, and, you know, we have a really good laugh together. It's one of the favourite parts of my life, to be honest.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, it means so much to all of us listeners. So to know it means so much to you taking part, that's just fantastic. Well, we've got lots of questions, calls and emails. But before we do that, now, normally, Quentin writes this very complex script that we then proceed to act out, and I do appalling character impressions. But Quentin is away, so I thought, how can I possibly make this even more embarrassing for myself? And I thought, I know. I can sing the roundup to the tune of a well-known Mary Poppins song accompanied by a ukulele. I mean, what could go wrong with that? Now, here's a warning. My singing is awful. The words are excruciating, but the ukulele playing is done brilliantly by Dum-de-dummer Jan Mitchell. Thank you, Jan, you're a star. Well, there's no avoiding it any longer. Prepare yourself, folks, I mean it, for this very different roundup of the week in Ambridge.
Lower Loxley starts the week, but Fred is in a state. There's no Wi-Fi, and then poor Ian heard the smash of plates. Freddy lures the Easter bun with tweets and telepathy, who's revealed as Easter Rabbit. What a shock, it's Kathy. Dumpty dum dilly dee, dumpty dum dilly dee, dumpty dum, dumpty dum. Roy is tired of handling Vince for Liz's surprise party. Rory's gathering started well with plenty of Bacardi. Drunk and loud, then Alice helped, but Rory's words abused her. Ben held back and didn't tell of Rory's wealthy cougar. Ardil Shah stays in his room, but Kathy has his invoice. Oliver is lurking there, deciding he's got no choice. Tracy's betting 50 pence on TV fame and fortune, but hotels shut, they're out of work. Sad faces in the ballroom. Dum-de-dum-dilly-dee, dum-de-dum-dilly-dee, dum-de-dum. Dumpty dum. The party's doomed, there's no staff left to parcel up cake boxes. Fred is called to ex-workers to show Vince who the boss is. Alice offers Olive brunch, but Rory's back to London. She admits Chris wants a dosh, there'll be a valuation. Vince gives Lizzie band engrave with Kiss coordinates. Then he gives poor Freddy a CD mix of Dire Straits. Jolene, Kathy are not friends. Roy's legal claim looks bleak. Linda comforts upset Freddy. It's been quite a week.
Well done. That was brilliant.
Well, it was a good idea, but I've been a bit nervous about the implementation.
No, I'm very impressed. You know, I've caught up with everything.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Well, sorry, everyone. Everyone's going to need a lot of therapy to... But let's move on quickly to our wonderful caller, Inaraz.
Hello, Ambridge 3962.
And first of all, we have God Squad Mia with a question for Mally.
Hi, Philippa and Mally. This is God Squad Mia, caller in ring from Newcastleland. Mally, I really love the way you play Natasha. You give her such character and there's depth to her. And I think you really communicate her personality over the radio. My question to you, though, is what the hell is she doing with a boring stick like Tom? And the Bridge Farm family, oh, my God, does she not want to get a knife out and slit everyone's throats? Because they are, I mean, they're just unbearable. There seems to be a backstory about Natasha which has been parked for a while. I wonder what your thoughts are on that and how is she going to cope when Ronnie and Reggie come along. Anyway, thanks what you do and keep it up. Thanks, Philippa. Take care now. Bye.
Wow, that was a lot of questions. I hope I remember everything. I think Tom and Natasha, they genuinely love one another. And I think that's the main thing. I think she sees his, you know, kind of annoying traits and sees that he overly anxious about things and things that she thinks is, you know, it's not worth wasting your energy on. But I think they're a really good team. I think they calm each other down and they, you know, they're a strong team. And I think actually, I know Natasha tries really hard to be liked. And I just think with time, she's trying to have like a better relationship with Pat. I think she genuinely loves Tony. She finds Tony quite funny and cute with his trains and everything. So I don't think they're that boring. I quite like the family. I feel blessed to be a part of the family. But who knows what the stories will, you know, how that'll pan out in the future. But I genuinely think that Natasha and Tom, they just love each other and they adore one another. And I think to other people that might seem a little bit sickly sweet or a little bit annoying, but actually I think their love is quite grounded and I think they balance each other out. Yes, he's annoying. But I think people love to hate Natasha and that's great. That's fine. And I think she, you know, she's definitely a passive aggressive person. Whereas I'm just generally aggressive. But I'm actually a very nice person. But I just think with Natasha, she's never been told no. She's never been told that she can't do things her way. So I think as their marriage and relationship progresses, especially with the twins arriving, who knows what chaos is going to arrive? Because actually, you can't control your life. You know, she is a control freak. You can't control your life with twins, with one child, you know.
Yes.
So it'll be great to see, you know, her weaknesses come forward. I don't, you know, obviously they don't give us the scripts that far in advance, but I'm sure there will be plenty of drama and humour and love and tiredness and problems along the way, because I think actually having the twins, this will be the first thing that she has no control over. You know, she has no experience in that field, if you like. So I'm sure there'll be lots of dramas coming her way.
Yes, that's really interesting, actually, because I think when she first arrived, some people sort of took against her because she was very cavalier with debt. And then when she tried to move the tea rooms, you know, so some people were concerned about that side of her. Personally, I love Natasha because she's strong and independent, and I don't want her to be consumed by this sort of handmaid tale story of turning into a Pat. You know, she needs to reject Pat's pate. Please let her.
Yeah, I think, you know, maybe sometimes in our society as well, if you are a strong woman, people automatically take against you or think, oh, she's mouthy, oh, she's bossy, oh, she's passive aggressive, or she's just generally aggressive. Mm. But actually, I just think she's a passionate person. I think she's a determined person. She wants to succeed. You know, and as an actor, you always try and build a backstory of, like, you know, you get what you're given of the script and then you kind of fill in the gaps. And what's her relationship like with her dad, her mum? Does she have siblings? Where's she from? What's formed her, you know? And I think that's one of the energies that I carry with me with Natasha, is that she always wanted to better herself, that she always wanted to prove herself. So, yeah, she's just insanely fun to play. And when I have episodes off, I really miss her, you know, and I pick up the script and I'm like, oh, God, she's great. Like, she speaks to people in a way that I wouldn't ever speak to, like, my mother-in-law, when, you know, when I had her in my life. But I'd be very courteous to my own mother-in-law. But she's actually quite mouthy with Pat. You know, she gives as good as she gets. And I think that's one of the reasons why she's such fun to play, I think.
Well, long may it continue. Thank you, God Squad Me. A great first call. And next we go to Kate, our employment law bot, who's calling about the HR headaches we've heard this week in Ambridge.
Well, hello, Dumpty Dum. This is the employment law bot here about the shocking developments this week. A number of observations. One is the, and I'm going to use the word shocking again, use of casual workers with no contracts, I presume cash in hand, for the party. Was there even a mention of volunteers? I do hope that they got some money to recompense them for their services. So there's that aspect. Number two, the thorny issue of the closure and announcement. Why did Roy go after an employment lawyer? He could have rung ACAS or a number of other places. And then he said he was going to go back. He also said that they were looking at his case. No, they wouldn't. They would literally say, have you got 2 years service? What announcement was made? What have they offered you? Go back and find out what they're offering you. So really simple. No need for the histrionics at all. A tax-free 3 month sum, if he's got, you know, not much service, it's all good. So I'm available at very good rates should they want to talk about that further, but they really don't need to do it that way. Okay, happy days. Bye-bye.
That is wonderful. I mean, I had questions about some of the way things were dealt with this week, but that takes it to a whole nother level. Lots of characters are going to be affected as well. I never thought that Grey Gables was going to close for 12 months. That's huge. I do wonder if Natasha's going to see that as an opportunity and try and open up an Airbnb.
Well, listen, who knows? You know, I'm sure after things settle, after having the twins, she might have a little slot of time to take over another business.
Yeah, we don't hear that much about her fruit juice empire, just that, you know, it's very busy and stressful and she's moved it now.
Yeah, I think she, you know, she puts her all into everything that she does. And I think it'll be interesting in the future where she doesn't have 100% of her time to commit to the business or to Tom. You know, it's going to be quite fractious, I think. And she might have to make some business decisions that she might not have done had she not had the children. So, you know, we all think that we can balance absolutely everything and be magnificent at everything that we do. Well, I think Natasha does. I don't. But yeah, there's bound to be cracks, I think. But who's to say that she might, you know, create a nice little Airbnb as a little earner on the side.
We'll have to see. I mean, this Adil Shah sounded very strange this week, going around introducing himself to everyone and causing lots of trouble. But yes, if anyone's got any employment law issues, Kate is definitely the person. Thank you, Kate. That was great. And now we go on to a call from Rob, who has a question for Mally.
Good evening, Philippa and Mally Harris. Wonderful to be able to say hi there. This week, there was the big reveal about the future of Grey Gables. My guess is that there will be emails, calls in and Facebook comments about the sudden closure and redundancies, possibly with reference to the events at P&O, which would never get mentioned in Ambridge. My question for Mally is, do you pay attention to what is said about your storylines on social media? Among the listeners are experts in all manner of fields, as well as people who have lived through some of the events portrayed, gestational diabetes, for instance. How do you feel when they are quite vociferous about mistakes the script writers may have made? Does any of it ever get fed back to the script writers? Thanks, bye now.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Personally, I'm not on any form of social media to protect my mental health, really, because it can get a bit much to be a part of something that if you just want to have, you know, time out to have your phone constantly pinging. You know, so yeah, I'm not on social media, but definitely I think it's a really important forum, I think, especially for script writers. If things are put forward that as listeners and fans, you might think, oh, you know, I've been through that, I've lived through that, and I didn't find it like that. It's really important, I think, to get your voices heard. And I think definitely the team are on all forms of social media, and they do read stuff and they do bring things back. But it's an interesting point. I think some actors really engage with social media and find it a way of getting their own voices heard and you know, talking straight to the fans. But personally, I'm not on. So I used to be. I did used to be on social media. I did a program called Hinterland, where I played a detective, a very, very dour DI. So I was on Twitter and Instagram and everything. But then I took myself away from it and tried to hush the noise, I think.
Mm. Well, you've had a huge acting career so far. You know, you've been in so many amazing productions and it must be quite a thing to see what people are saying. Even though you've done a brilliant job, there are some strange people out there.
But that's fine, you know, everybody deserves to get their voices heard. And I actually enjoy playing somebody that not everybody likes, you know, that people have a problem with, or because, you know, because drama is good. Having an opinion about somebody that you absolutely detest or you can't bear is brilliant. You know, I'd much rather play somebody that's kind of evoked those kind of feelings of like, I love her, I hate her, I can't believe she did that, rather than, oh, I'm so bored with her. I don't think Natasha's boring. I'm certainly not bored playing her. I find her quite gung-ho and reactionary and impulsive and passionate. I think social media is great, but personally I don't expose myself to that anymore.
No, I don't blame you. Well, thank you, Rob. That was a great question. I think Rob's got another question later on. But now we go to Stephen, who's calling about slurry.
Hi, Philippa and Molly. Amidst all the chaos around the sale of Grey Gables, one thing has been bothering me. Muck. Susan overheard Ruth and Stella discussing the plan to transport surplus slurry from Brookfield for use at Home Farm. She immediately conjured up nightmarish visions of truckloads of foul-smelling liquids driving past the village green at all hours of day and night. Then we had Kathy and Jolene talking about it at Elizabeth's party, with Jolene convinced that the atmosphere of the beer garden at the Bull would be ruined by spillages of effluence detracting from the usual aroma of peacock poo. So why am I so bothered about this? It's because both Brookfield and Home Farm are on the other side of the Am from the village green, the shop and the Bull. It would be madness to drive through the village to get from one to the other, not least because it would involve crossing the river twice, once over a narrow humpback bridge. There's a perfectly good route that goes nowhere near the village, but instead takes the slurry past Sawyer's, and I'm sure that's where they'd go. The only people I think who will have a legitimate worry about the delivery of slurry to Home Farm will be the inhabitants of Home Farm House, the mysterious Gills. And I think that at the moment, they will have other things on their mind, because I think they're the new owners of 60% of Grey Gables. You heard it here first.
Oh, Stephen, that's a really good idea. I like that. Yes, I'm intrigued to know who the actual owners of this 60% of Grey Gables are and where the slurry may go. I love the forensic detail that Stephen goes into.
Oh, I think, Stephen, you should offer up, you know, like a sat-nav of the village, so that people can just know exactly where they want to go. So, you know, I'd be up for that. I know in the corridors of the BBC, there is a map of the village. There is a map of where everybody lives and things. So it's, yeah, it's actually really important to keep consistent in those things, because even though it's not a, you know, in the real world, you get in your car and you can drive there, it's all in our heads and we remember things. We remember where that narrow bridge is and we remember where that field is. So, yeah, I think you could make a buck there by having some sort of an app telling all the characters how to get to the easiest place. Do you know what I mean?
And the script writers might make use of it as well. I mean, it's like when we discovered that Rex had moved to a narrow boat. We were all quite alarmed by this sudden river system, the wide enough and appropriate enough to take a narrow boat. I don't know. Is there any discussions on the WhatsApp group of the cast about that?
Well, I'm not actually a part of the massive WhatsApp group of the cast. I was during the lockdown I was, and then when I tried to quieten everything down, all the social media kind of like, I took myself out of the cast WhatsApp group. But I WhatsApp characters in it, you know,
yeah,
personally. I'm more of the personal touch rather than a group thing. But I think details like that are really important, and yeah, I think they could benefit from your help, Stephen, I think.
Fantastic. Thanks, Stephen. And now we go to Catherine, who has found the funny side this week.
My contribution is entitled rather grandly, "Where's my dauphinoise?" Because Ian getting all Gordon Ramsay in the kitchen made me laugh so much. Honestly, it's a little country house hotel, hardly the bloomin' Savoy Grill. Anyway, talking of the Savoy, I loved the party, loved it. How doped is that? And Rory talking about London as if he was in some sort of episode of a thing about the Profumo affair with women in champagne glasses and models from the days when models were seen as rather loose and a bit of dubious morals. Very funny. But I don't understand why Vince is investing in Freddie if his mum owns a freaking stately home. I mean, it's really strange. Or is this just part of the plot that Vince is going to be like kind of like an Inspector Calls, and it's all going to go south and he's going to have tentacles on everyone and take him down? So he'll have lent money to Thingy and David, won't he, which was the most bizarre thing. Just go to the bank or don't borrow it. And also he'll have a thing on Elizabeth emotionally. All we need is, oh my God, wouldn't it be brilliant if Russ found him out and Russ had to challenge him, and because he's always fancied Elizabeth, and Thingy daughter won't know which way to go. But there is something funny about Vince, isn't there? I do love the actor, though. His accent is just perfect. And the way he says Boston and all his other little Midlands thing. It's about time we had a proper actor. Also, somebody only started listening to it really when the domestic violence story was going on. I have no idea who Kathy is, why they've pretended she doesn't exist, why everyone's so delighted, why they decided to bring her back in a Easter bunny costume. Just why? Alice, stop being so kind to Rory. He's an utter arse and he doesn't deserve your sympathy. You know, don't project onto me, all that sort of therapy chat she gave him. He's got some sort of sugar daddy. He probably was terrified in London, really lonely, and so he's bigging it up to everyone else. Not the first time this has happened to students coming back to their hometown after some time away. Thanks very much then. Bye.
Catherine, your calls are always wonderful. And this one, yeah, I thought Ian sounded like some sort of member of the SAS, you know, the lamb stays on whether it kills me or not. I don't care how much pressure, we do not let standards drop. This poor chap, so stressed.
It sounded like a very stressful kitchen, that, didn't it?
Yeah, it really did. I did wonder what Natasha would make. I mean, they had 150 people to this surprise party. I didn't know that Vince and Elizabeth knew that many people, but presumably Natasha would have been invited.
Yeah, I listened to that episode and I was thinking, oh, I didn't get an invite. Like it was a personal thing. But yeah, I think it feels to me like if there's a celebration, everybody's there. You know, even if you only hear two or three of the actors, we kind of presume that everybody's present because everybody wants to know each other's business and, you know, kind of be a part of the gossip and see who's done what during that time. And so, as a listener, I felt like, oh, well, I didn't get an personal invitation, but I hope they have a nice time. But yeah, I think everybody's there. Do you know what I mean? I think I agree. That kitchen sounded really stressful.
Catherine didn't know who Kathy was. A very brief summary, and everyone will shout at me because this is oversimplifying it, but Kathy used to run the Bull with Sid. They were married. Then Sid had this very embarrassing affair with Jolene at the gym. So that was it for Kathy. She had to leave. She set up on her own, got together with Kenton. Of course, in that time, Sid sadly died. And then after she split up with Kenton, Jolene went out with Kenton and they were married. So those two do have history. There's a lot more to Kathy, but that's a very brief summary of it all. But Catherine, that's great. I just I do worry about Vince as well. And he seems to be playing Freddie. You felt like he was going to give him money for this DJ booth. And then you just got this CD mix of 80s songs. I think Natasha would have been a bit more supportive.
Yeah, I think so. A bit more direct and a bit more aggressive.
Yeah, and that's what Freddie needs, actually.
Yeah, I love listening to Freddie. I think the actor's got a lovely voice. Just really animated and just wonderful. So, yeah, it draws me in whenever I listen to Freddie. I feel like, oh, yeah. I can kind of see who he is. And it's interesting because, being a part of the cast, you obviously know what the actors look like. You know them in real life. And it's funny, before I was a part of it, I'd listen to it and kind of imagine what people looked like because they're in your head and you imagine them. And then when you see them in real life, sometimes it totally matches. And other times you go, oh, wow, I didn't expect them to look like that.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. So I'm meandering a little bit. But sometimes, like, when we have our pictures taken, I think, like, do the fans really want to see what we look like?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Because you've already formed your version of Freddie or Tom or whoever in your imagination. So when you see them, pictures them in real life, maybe it's slightly disappointing. Maybe of me anyway, not of them.
No, you're absolutely right, because... personally, I like to see photos, but there are a lot of people that don't, that, as you say, form their own idea of what someone looks like and they don't want that changing. But
yeah.
You're quite different, actually, from the photo that the BBC provide of you in character. I think you were dressed as Natasha then.
Yeah, and that's I had long dark hair then, so that was pre-COVID, pre-grey roots showing. So I've gone with a grey. So I think you could class me now as a grey icy blonde, ? So, yeah, I've been through various colours. But, yeah, I do look very different to what the picture on the website. But, I've been through lots of different colours.
Well, as they said, that's you as Natasha. So I suppose that's that. But, no, your hair looks great. I love it. It's fabulous. It's
grey blonde.
That's why I wear these big headphones now, so they cover up all the grey on the top, which is quite helpful.
Yeah, I've been grey since I was about 21, and having to dye it, so it looked great for 10 days, and then you just see my roots. And so when I was filming, 3 weeks, and the makeup department would be like, come on, get your roots done. So yeah, I've given up the ghost and I've gone grey blonde.
Yeah, no, good for you. It looks great. Well, thank you, Catherine. That was a wonderful call, as always. And if you're wondering how you should call in for next week, just go to www.speakpipe.com/dumptydum. Don't forget the T in the middle. You can record your calls there. We need them in by 12 noon on Saturday. Please keep them to a maximum of 2 minutes. And bear in mind, you need to be at least 18 to take part. Now, back to the calls. We have Witherspoon, who is reflecting on the bad attitudes this week.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy.
Greetings, Philip and Natasha and all Dumpty Dummers around the world. It's Witherspoon and Angus Haggis here. Well, quite an eventful week in Ambridge, and not particularly good ones for Rory, Oliver, and the entire staff of Grey Gables. First, Rory. I was not at all surprised at how it all went down at his party. Not very mature to call Alice Alky Alice, to refer to members of AA as winos, and to insult his best friend. Last week, I and another caller in error made a link between his late mother, Siobhan, and Julianne. During his drunken state, Rory himself made a reference to Siobhan when he said, "My mother didn't have a choice when she abandoned me." He also accused Alice of hurting her baby when she was drinking while pregnant and was critical of Adam and Ian for putting Xander at risk. Note, that's his perception, not mine, when taking him to the family AA event. Putting all these comments together, we can look back at Rory going off to university and the inappropriate comments Alice made toward him as stirring up unresolved grief and anxiety about the loss of his mother. All signs point toward eventually Alice herself helping Rory work through these issues in typical Archer's fashion. Now, regarding Grey Gables, it's interesting that the Archers is now exploring the economic fallout of the pandemic on Ambridge, even if there was no health impact on the community. I have sympathy for both Oliver and for the employees of the hotel. Hopefully they'll be getting a generous severance as the deal promised. Regarding Oliver, I think his grief over losing the hotel is sincere, though he is retaining 40% of it and was able to sell the remainder. Many business owners just have had to close their doors without any compensation. And sadly, I talk from current family experience about this. So this storyline has affected me a bit more than usual. Talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you, Witherspoon. Yes, Witherspoon is our resident New York psychiatrist, so he knows what he's talking about. But yeah, Alice was nice. I'm not normally a fan of Alice, I have to admit, but she was supportive, not judgmental. And Rory wasn't nice, didn't even give her a hug, probably too soon for him. But the issues, as Witherspoon says, that there's so many of them. I haven't seen Natasha really interact with Rory and Alice yet. She's probably keeping well away.
No, I don't think I've had many scenes with them at all. You know, and the whole Alice alcoholism story was, I thought, was amazing and extremely well played. And, you know, these things affect all of us, all of our families, all of our friends. We all know somebody who struggles with addiction or grief, or, you know, the kind of many, many circles of grief, you know. So I'm really proud when we get to grips with stories that are big and that do affect so many people. And yeah, I think that brother and sister relationship is fantastic, you know, kind of how your upbringing can really affect and shape who you are, and then big things happening and that has a knock-on effect to how you are as a human being and the struggles and problems that you have to deal with. So, yeah, I listened to that scene and I thought Alice was lovely, that she was genuinely not judgmental and just wanted him to kind of not spiral, as she's, you know, definitely spiraled in the past. So, yeah, it's a very interesting dynamic. So, I'd be very keen to do scenes with them because I think they're brilliant.
Yes, they've had a lot to deal with. And it's been interesting to see how Alice's character has sort of evolved, and the quality of acting does really come through. But I love this idea of Roy in his dressing gown being interrupted from watching Antiques Roadshow and being up at 7 o'clock at night and thinking that was far too late.
Yeah, exactly. It sounded like a really raucous party, didn't it?
It did. And I know Alice said, Brian and Jennifer are not going to find out, but surely they are. You don't keep that secret. I can't imagine.
It reminded me of an advert in like the 1980s or something when there was like a party and somebody scratched the veneer on a table. Do you remember that advert?
Yes.
And I was like, there's going to be a piece of furniture, somebody with a massive scratch where they couldn't find the number of the French polishers in the Yellow Pages.
Yes. Well, hopefully the couple have left Brian and Jennifer's bedroom, so that's not something...
Hopefully they're still not in there.
Yeah. Oh, dear. In fact, Witherspoon also contacted me to say, I looked up the photo of Natasha on the character website, and I must say that Mally is a dead ringer for the picture I had of Natasha in my mind's eye. Excellent casting. For what it's worth, I'm a fan of Natasha as a psychiatrist. I was very impressed when she talked about growing up with a father with bipolar disorder. It felt true to life.
Yeah, it's beautiful to be able to reveal things. You know, when you start playing a character, you don't know absolutely everything about that character. You're given certain facts and then you fill in the gaps, and as time goes on, you then get scripts that reveal a bit more about that person's family and their problems and how they survived and how they changed. So, yeah, I'm always really pleased when I get a chance to show a side of Natasha to explain maybe why she is so aggressive and why she's so driven. Because obviously we are all how we are because of what we've been through. Yeah. And, you know, how we were brought up by our parents, what our relationships with them, you know, was like, and our sisters and brothers, what did we get on with them? You know, did we want to leave home? Could we wait to leave? So, yeah, it's a privilege to have moments like that because, you know, again, the same with addiction. We all know people who suffer with mental health. And I think, you know, raising mental health awareness is a fantastic, it's a really, really important thing to do. And to talk openly about Natasha's father's bipolar is fantastic because then it might give another chance to somebody else to say, oh, actually, yeah, I've been through that or I feel like that or, you know, to talk openly about it. And there's a lot less taboo then, I think, when people can hear people opening up and think, actually, do you know what, I am going to say something to my friend next time I see them because I'm struggling a little bit, you know.
How long in advance do you get the script before you're then recording it? Do you get enough time to, if you need to do some research, if there's something new that you weren't aware of before?
Yeah, we get them maybe about 3 weeks-ish before we record them. So, yeah, there's plenty of time. I know with Natasha's gestational diabetes, I was straight away Googling everything. Okay, what does it mean? How serious is it? What do you need to do? So you definitely have time to research. And, you know, one of the blessings of The Archers is those stories, they don't come and go very quickly. You know, it's not like for one episode, like when you do a soap opera sometimes. I do Pobl y Cwm, which is a Welsh language soap opera in Cardiff. And those storylines sometimes are so fast. You're one thing one week and the next thing the next week. And then it changes and changes and changes. Whereas with The Archers, because it's more, the pace is maybe slower and more kind of longer running. You have real time to develop issues with health or mental health or relationships. It's kind of, it's more of a real life pace, I think. So, yeah, you get plenty of time to research and you do kind of feel like you're living with those issues for the length of those episodes. And even, you know, you carry that with you as an actor then going forward, remembering back to issues of childhood or, you know, having to. I realised this morning, I was doing the maths, Natasha's 40. So to have, you know, to have kids at 40, to have twins at 40 is something, isn't it? Like I had my kids when I was 28 and 32, I think. And I think she's put it off because she just wants to succeed. And yeah, I think it'll be very interesting to see physically how she manages, you know, with a set of twins starting at 40. I started at 28 and that was tiring enough.
Yeah, you're right that I hadn't even thought about it because I'm now 50, so whenever I hear someone say 40, I just think that's just so young. But you're right.
I'm not saying it's mega old. Like I've got a friend in real life who's tried for a very, very long time to have children and she's my age, so she's 46, you know, and I'm so proud and thrilled that she's having a baby and she's been through so much to get there. But starting at 46, I think, takes a lot of energy.
Yes. And it's not just when they're tiny little ones. It's as they grow up and the challenges that you face then. But
yeah, exactly. You know, running around, holding hands. Don't run across the road. I hadn't really clocked Natasha's age until this morning probably. Just thinking, oh, you know, because I always thought that she was younger. You know, I'm 46 in real life and I was thinking, oh, I wonder how old. And I thought, actually, you know, I don't know what the story, how the stories are going to pan out, but I'm sure there's extreme tiredness on the way.
Definitely. Yeah, there has to be. There has to be. And some challenges with Pat and Tom.
Oh, definitely.
And, yes. And the Bridge Fresh app.
Yeah, that dynamic of like, you know, when people say, well, when I was pregnant, it was like this or, you know, I found, you know, how I got my babies to sleep was like this. So you either kind of take those on board and use them or, you know, maybe Natasha will just get, rubbed up the wrong way totally. and you know, find everybody extremely offensive, even though they're trying to help.
Well, I wouldn't blame her, but yeah, Witherspoon, thank you very much. And now we go on to Brian, who is concerned about Oliver's future.
Hello, it's Brian. Hope you're well. Too much to go on everything that happened this week, but a couple of things I did like to talk about. Firstly, I like the way they brought Kathy back. I thought that's quite fun and quite knowing, the way that they introduce her as not speaking, as a non-verbal rabbit for so long. A bit mean of them to then make her redundant the same week, but oh well. Yeah, I was wondering about the position Oliver's left himself in, because I think he said he sold 60% of the Grey Gables to this new firm or person, whoever it is, because I understand Ardell's only a manager. But that leaves him in a very, very bad place, bound to have disagreements about how things are going to get run, and he'll have no say in when it comes to it. He can be overruled every turn, and then he'll still have a stake, but if it doesn't go well, he'll still have no way of getting out of it. The only person you could probably sell it to would be the people that are running it. He's in a very bad position with that. If it was 50-50, because I don't sort of understand it, but no, I think he's heading for trouble there. I would have said he should have just sold the whole place. If he didn't want to run it anymore, just wash his hand of it and sell it all. Can't see why he just didn't do that. But now he's still got a stake in it, but no say. No, that's going to be trouble for him. However it ends up, doesn't sound like it's going to be us reopening as a conventional hotel again, so that will be interesting. But we shall see. Well, nice to talk to you, and have fun this week.
Thank you, Brian. A great call. Yes, Oliver, these renovations are going to cost some money, so where's that coming from? And it must have been a private sale. It didn't go on the market, or else everybody would have known about it. At least Kathy can make money appearing as an Easter bunny throughout the year, although I suppose there's not much call for that apart from April. I wonder if Natasha and Tom are going to get a lot of people trying to get jobs at Bridge Farm.
They might need more, you know. They're going to have less time, I think, to concentrate on their business, even though Natasha, that would be an absolute nightmare. She's going to have to let go of the reins a little bit. But yeah, and you know, the point about the effects of COVID on the business and stuff, you know, it has had a massive effect on people's lives. And you know, just the whole thing of the hospitality business and just really struggling to find their feet again. And I agree with the last caller that, you know, 60% of a business to give away to sell is, you know, you are asking for trouble, really. Why didn't he do 50-50 or the whole thing? But then obviously that's going to make interesting drama, isn't it? If he doesn't have a say, he can't get, you know, his way through. So yeah, very interesting. I've no idea what's happening in the future, by the way.
We can't beg you to tell us. No, that's great.
I don't know, honestly. Yeah. I would tell you everything. I just simply don't know.
Oh, that's great. Brian, thank you so much for your call. And now we go back to Rob, who has a very important question for Mally.
Enough of all this Archers-related nonsense. I'm sure Philip is on the verge of dropping off at the moment, so let's do something to make sure she's still a listener. Forget Natasha Archer. What are Mally Harris's favourite biscuits?
That's a good question. My favourite biscuit is a chocolate hobnob.
Ooh.
So you can dunk it, but you have to be really precise about when you remove it from the tea so it doesn't either plop into the tea or go on your T-shirt or the carpet. So definitely chocolate hobnob is my absolute favourite.
Is there a number of seconds that you time it in the hot drink?
I think it's probably 3.
Oh, right. Okay, I like
this.
Like
1 hobnob, 2 hobnob. If it's like too slow, you're done, that's it. And it's actually destroyed the biscuit and then the tea because it's all floating around in the tea. So yeah, it's an art.
You have to get a sieve out and start again. Yeah. Well, yes, biscuits, eating food, chocolate are very important subjects for me. So whenever an item of food is mentioned in the Archers, listeners can then rely on me to forensically analyse all the details about it. But yeah, there you go, Rob. That is Mally's favourite biscuit. Excellent. And now we go to Catherine with a Y, who is reflecting on subjects covered in The Archers.
Hi, Philippa. Hi, Natasha and all the team. It's Catherine with a Y here. It's been a few weeks since I called for the first time. I hope you've all had a lovely Easter and a sunny week. Now, a few weeks ago on the podcast, it was mentioned that we don't hear about real life events on The Archers. These things don't affect The Archers' characters. So I was wondering, did anyone else notice that this has recently changed? We had Natasha very briefly mention COVID a couple of weeks ago. And then this week, we've had Kathy raising money for Ukrainian refugees and Tracy commenting, it's been a terrible couple of years for people. So I was wondering, did anyone else notice? And why do you think this has changed in the writing? Thanks, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Catherine with a Y. Yeah, that's true, because I have gone on about how COVID seems to have just passed by Ambridge, like it's got its own breathing system and they've just managed to avoid it completely, which at times infuriated me. And at times, actually, it was quite a relief for it not to be included. But Catherine's right that we have heard some references recently. Do you sometimes ask the script writers whether they can include something to make it a bit more relevant?
Yeah, you have absolute freedom to kind of voice your opinion and ask if things can be included or why things aren't included. I think just generally, not just across The Archers, but across definitely, you know, different soaps. Some chose to include it and some chose not to include it at all, COVID, I'm talking about now. But I think I have had scenes with somebody who was coughing up the stairs. I just had a flashback to a scene. Who owned the flat above the stairs that Tom and Natasha lived in?
Hazel, yes, with her breathing
problem. Hazel, I know the actress's name. Yeah, that's it. So she had COVID up the stairs. Yeah, yes. I remember that scene. And I heard the reference to you raising money for the Ukraine this week as well. I think maybe a reason why they're popping in a bit more is that, you know, they are massive events, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And I think if there was no mention of those massive things, I think it's a shame not to mention them. Because I heard that Ukraine reference and I thought, yeah. Because it makes you feel that it's present, that it's now, and that we're all in the same world, that it's, you know, that it's not this imaginary place. We're all just living in the same world. So yeah, I'm all for including references, but it's to do with the timing, I think, as well. Because we do, for instance, I'm recording for The Archers on Wednesday, but that won't be out for quite some time. So you can't really record things like, you know, today this happened in the news, let's put it in, because there's a delay from when we record it to when it comes out. So, for instance, that reference about the Ukraine probably was recorded when the war started. So that it can't be, you know, on today in the news, this happened, let's stick it in, because it won't be transmitted for, you know, 3 weeks, a month. So sometimes that is a little bit tricky because you can't be as immediate as you might want to be because of the gap between when we record it and when it is, well, the TX date, you know, the transmission date is. So, but I quite like hearing things that are relevant when I listen to it. It makes me feel that other people are on the same journey. Do you understand what I mean by that?
I do. And the fact that they're willing to hear you out, you know, if there's something that you would like to be included, or if you've got a question, it's good that it's quite an open relationship with the script writers.
Yeah, they're brilliant. They're fantastic. You know, and the way that it's all, the way that it goes, like pre-COVID, we would all be in the rehearsal room and we'd have a read through. So you'd hear the whole episode and then you'd go in, you know, in order of character really, and record the whole thing. But because of COVID now, we haven't had that, not everybody in the same room, you know? So it's different, I think, after COVID, but I think we're getting back to what it felt more like, you know, before, that feeling of now everybody is there for the read-through, we're back doing that, but it's in a more of an open space. It's not like before the green room was an enclosed room with no windows, whereas now we have the read-through somewhere that's light and airy and it's kind of more COVID secure. And they had, the team have been fantastic about securing our space. You know, once we get into the building, there's temperature checks and there's distancing. They're really clear about mask wearing and stuff like this. So even though, you know, we don't have to do all of those things, they are still being very careful because, you know, we all want to continue. We all want to make more and more episodes and because we love doing it, basically.
Have they said to you about the extra, the Friday night episode yet? Because this is what we're all desperate to hear about.
I know that they're very, very keen to get that up and running. So I've been told that as soon as they get a date for that, they will release it on all the social forums because, you know, we just love doing it and we know that we have such strong, passionate fans and we're all keen to get it back to what it was. Do you know what I mean? Like 100%.
Yeah, it would be wonderful. But Mally, I have a question for you. We asked this of Stephen Fry when he came on, so prepare yourself. This is a question for Natasha, not Mally, okay?
Okay.
It's a snog, marry, avoid question, and we're dealing with the characters, not the actors. So,
okay.
Your options are Jazza, Justin, and Brian. Who would you snog, marry? Well, who would Natasha snog,
Jazza,
marry?
I'm writing these down. Justin, Jazza.
And Brian.
Brian. I think I would definitely snog Jazza. I think I can't resist his accent. I think Natasha has a thing for Celtic sounds. Marry Brian.
Oh, okay. Yes. Good luck.
And what was the other one? Snog, marry, and
avoid. So avoid. We're avoiding, well, Justin. I've only got
Justin. Yeah. Nothing personal. Nothing personal.
No, that's...
That's weird, yeah. Kind of, yeah. It is a fantastic thing to be able to do because you get to know people as individuals. You get to know them as actors. And if they're not in episodes that you're in, then you start listening and you really, really get drawn in. So, there's no rhyme or reason to those choices other than throwing a dice.
Oh, that's great. Well, Catherine with the Y, thank you for your call. And now we go back to Stephen, who is looking at the succession story in Ambridge.
Hi, Philippa and Marley. This call isn't about this week's activities in Ambridge, but a more general observation stroke question. What is happening about the succession at all three of the main family farms? It's looking more and more likely that Pip is going to take over at Brookfield, although Bess Casey would be a much better heir to the Brookfield Aga, if not the dairy herd. Home Farm is in complete chaos, with the best farmer in the next generation living thousands of miles away in Hungary, Adam, who could do the job, exiled to odd jobs at Bridge Farm, and none of Brian's own offspring looking remotely serious as farmers. Plus, of course, the shadow of Alice's divorce hanging over the whole partnership there. And then Bridge Farm. That's got both Tom and Helen actively involved in the business. But as far as I'm aware, there are no formal arrangements for succession or inheritance at all, which could be extremely messy if Tony were suddenly to drop dead. So, how's that one going to work out? And what will be Natasha's role? Might she find herself playing Lady Macbeth in an attempt to ensure that Tom gets the farm? Or will she simply retreat to her orchard in Sawyers and wait until the dust settles? I'd welcome your views.
Mally, what do you think about that?
Well, you know, she is having twins. She's going to pop them out. She's starting an empire, kids. No, I don't know. I mean, very interesting. I know in the farming community, you know, inheritance and stuff like that it's really, unless it's worked out, unless it's in black and white, like you're going to get this, you're going to get this, you're going to share that with your sister. If it's left to chance, it can tear families apart, can't it? So yeah, I think Natasha would probably want it written down black and white, exactly what the plans were, so that, you know, when the inevitable happens, oh my gosh, that sounds dreadful, that it's clear. And I think, yeah, who knows? I mean, it would probably be 50-50, wouldn't it? Between Helen and Tom?
But then the trouble is, if it's 50-50, who makes the final decision? You know, are things always mm-hmm. going to not move forward because you can't agree? It's a really difficult one. I mean, Tom and Helen seem to work together because they do their own separate things. Yet yeah. if they're sort of managing it and running it together, there has to be unity. And I'm not sure how Natasha's relationship with Helen really works at this point.
Yeah, it will be a time of change and conflict, definitely, I think. I think Natasha and Helen get on as people. I love Louisa in real life, the actress who plays Helen. We actually, she's one of my favourite people on the planet. So I want more and more scenes with Helen. I haven't had scenes with Helen for a long time. But, it's an interesting, I'm sure it will be fraught with difficulty and drama. But I just think clarity of wills is a good idea.
Mm. Well, let's hope there's drama, because that's what we're here for, I'm afraid. But now we go to our last call, which is from Richard and his sister Helen. Now, Richard had his birthday on Friday. Happy birthday, Richard. But has he been suffering from the birthday blues? Let's hear from Richard and his sister Helen.
So my big sister Helen called in with this birthday message.
Oh, I'm phoning to say happy birthday, but I couldn't help noticing the last time we spoke, you sounded extremely worried, and I wondered whether it was more to do with the takeover of Great Gables by possibly an oligarch, or Roy's tax returns and all the benefits in kind he's receiving, because you don't usually look so worried, so I knew it'd be something pretty major.
And the point is that Rory is definitely receiving gifts in kinds of substantial value, and by giving them to different family members raises the question, what happened if he died? Because the material value could possibly fall within the 7-year rule of inheritance tax. So is he declaring his benefits in kind from his sugar mummy at all? And even if he is the net asset value of his gifts to various family members being properly recorded? And I think Alice ought to think about that. But more importantly, who bought Great Gables? The guy who showed up is not the owner, and the ultimate beneficial owner is clearly not known. And for all we know, it's some oligarch.
Thank you, Richard. I feel much reassured, and knowing that both these problems are going to be in the competent hands of Usha and Harrison will make both you and me sleep much more easily in our beds.
Richard, I'm really worried about this spoiling your birthday. I know we take it very seriously, but don't let it spoil your birthday. At least big sister Helen was on hand to leave a message. Richard then did email me to say he's also worried about Natasha's attitude to debt, which is out of kilter with what is needed to run a business. It's one thing to borrow to grow a profitable business without dilution, quite another to borrow for consumption.
I know, and she does consume. Do you know what I mean?
She does, but I love it. It's so different in Ambridge.
Yeah, I think she has the mind, Natasha has that mindset of, well, if I'm earning and everything's fine, I'll pay her back at some point. I think she is trying to rein in her spending spree energy, inner energy that's always kind of ticking over. What can I get? What can I buy? But I think Tom is a good influence on her in that respect, that he's a bit tight. He doesn't seem to splash out as much as she would like. But yeah, it is, you know, I can totally understand what Richard was concerned about there, about inheritance tax and making sure that, you know, if you're getting gifts, that it's all written down. It all comes back to writing it all down, putting it down in paper. Do you know what I mean? Pen and paper. So that you don't get anybody into trouble or yourself into trouble if, you know, things change.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder what's going on there. Who is giving all that money to Rory?
It's Julianne, we've been told. She is a lonely businesswoman in her mid-40s who is bored and needing some company, Rory provides, but he has told Ben that he provides nothing else, shall we say.
Okay, nothing. Dodgy, yes. Dodge.
a yes, nothing of the night.
Nothing of the night. That's a great name for a book, isn't it? Nothing of the Night by Natasha Archer. Do you know what I googled it. I thought, Natasha Archer, then obviously it's a name that we know. Yeah. But actually, Natasha Archer is the name of the real-life stylist of the Duchess of Cambridge.
Well, I'm sure when the Duchess of Cambridge is sitting there and someone says Natasha Archer, she'll say, which one?
Yeah, she'd be like, well, obviously, I think the real-life Natasha Archer is a lot more savvy with money than the Natasha Archer that we all properly know. But, yeah, it's interesting, that thing about being too free with money and borrowing on borrowing on borrowing. I think that's when it's a problem.
Oh, yeah.
I think one credit card is enough, do you know what I mean? I think balancing credit cards on each other it's not a clever card game, is it really?
Yeah, I'm not recommending it as an approach, but I just love to hear it because it's so different to what the residents of Ambridge are normally like, and I want Natasha to find a 10-bedroomed property with double staircase that she convinces Tom they have to move into, because I just love something like that.
She'd love that, you know, like escape to the kind of shadow escape programs that you get, where yeah. They kind of like, they do up every single corner for millions and millions and millions of pounds. She'd totally be up for that, I think. Maybe
it would be be great.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But now we go on to our emails. And the first one is from Purple Pumpkin. And they write, Dear Philippa, Mally and Dumpty Dummers everywhere. This is loyal listener Purple Pumpkin with a comment, question and some foodie information, all within the 250 word limit. First, I loved hearing Kathy again. Her comment, you know how good I am at keeping shtum, made me laugh out loud. As a reappearance line, it is up there with Hello Pusscat in the pantheon of classics. I do hope she's back for good and not just for a retirement swan song like Mike Tucker's. Second, Philippa, do you know that Marks and Spencer make chocolate hot cross buns? They are much nicer than the usual nasty ones. Finally, Mally. As an experienced actress, do you find it challenging to play a character who seems to change personality or reveal new facets every few months? First, Natasha was a thrusting, glamorous businesswoman with a sideline as a beautician, then a credit card spendthrift, then revealing some backstory when she helped Kirsty try to find Jordan, Kenzie and Blake. Now as a house guest and expectant mother, we're hearing more new sides to her. And all while married to the twonk Tom Archer. What do you make of her evolution? Keep up the good work on the podcast, PP.
Because we get the scripts like one by one, you never know where the end goal is. So it's actually surprising to hear these kind of, like you're saying, you're hearing about this, then that, and then the other thing, those kind of facets of her character are being kind of peeled away as we get to know her a bit more. But I think it's fantastic. I think it's, you know, multi-layered. I think sometimes as an actor, if you know where you're going, it's actually not that great. Because in real life, you don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're doing tomorrow. Mm. You know where you come from. You know who you are. You know who formed you, your parents, your relationship, your friendships, your adventures that you've already had. But you don't know where you're going. So I've got no problem with, having these big reveals of things as time goes on. Because that's how we kind of morph as people, isn't it? That's how we grow and become more rounded people, is by opening up and revealing things about ourselves. So yeah, it's She's definite fun to play. And like I said before, if I don't get episodes, I really miss playing her because she's ballsy and she gets away with a lot.
We've heard of some actors being taken into this infamous side room to be told about revelations for their character in the future. Have you been taken into this side room yet?
I don't know where the side room is. But we have emails, so they're brilliant, the writing team, because things aren't revealed to us until we're actually recording, you know, like the 3 weeks. That's the kind of thing that with the timescale that we get. But I didn't know it was twins for a while. Mm. You know, you get the odd email kind of like, congratulations. You think, why, what's happening? And then it's kind of like slightly coded. You'll see. You'll see when you get the script. So as soon as the script lands, we're like, oh my goodness, get to the chase. What's going to happen? And I love that feeling of like, because of COVID, I work from my iPad. So my script is electronically now. But as before, it was paper, very good quality paper in Radio 4, very good. And so they'd land, you know, they'd come through the letterbox and you hear them thud on the floor. And you'd run really excitedly to see what's going to happen, what's going to happen. But now it's electronic. I still get that rush of kind of like, put the password in, you know, make sure that like... And then you get the reveal of like, what's going on? So yeah, I haven't found the side room, but I love getting coded emails to say, you know, can't wait to see how you react to this one. And then you open it and you feel like, oh, this is brilliant. Because it feels clandestine because you can't speak to anybody about the scripts.
Yes, you know, and we don't.
It's yeah, wonderful. And like, especially when we have family get-togethers, and my father-in-law's friends come up and they're like, hi, Natasha. Oh, Mally, hi. And you've known them for years. And they're like, I'm sorry. And they, you know, you want to talk to them about their families. And they're like, tell me what's going on with Tom. Are you having girls or boys? Is it going to be problematic? Is cesarean, elective cesarean? And it's like, calm down. You know, do you want a hot dog or burger or whatever? And so it's, I just love it. I love the energy of it and want to do it forever.
Well, we want you to do it forever as well. It's great. Well, our second email is from Marina about the Gleeson twins. Hello, Philippa and all Dumpty Dum listeners. I had to write in about the Gleeson twins. As an over 60 identical twin myself, I get really annoyed when I hear people referring to the twins or the Gleeson twins. They are two completely different adult people, as are my twin sister and I. And surely it's possible for the locals to make a little bit of effort to identify who is who and call them by their actual names. No identical twins are 100% the same. For example, I have a mole on my nose and I'm slightly taller than my sister, although we sound exactly the same, and have fooled boyfriends on the telephone in our younger days. It's just laziness in my view. Love the podcast, Marina. Well, yes, we've recently heard about these mysterious Gleeson twins who were good at dancing and now on the veteran cricket team. But of course, we're going to have more twins, aren't we? We're going to have...
We definitely are. I don't know girls or boys or names or anything, you know. I think, first of all, I thought, oh, I hope they're really kind of difficult to pronounce names like Rhydderch and Iorwerth or something. But, you know, with a name like Natasha, I don't know, maybe it is going to be. Maybe she's going to step back into the Welsh heritage and bring some fantastic names out. Growing up, I was friends with sisters that were identical twins, and Emma and Sarah Cooper, they were called. And I was friends with Sarah, first of all, and then Sarah kind of got more into boys, and then I got friendly with Emma, and then I stayed with Emma then for a long, long time. And it's interesting because to me, they were very different to look at, even though they were identical, because their personalities were totally different.
Yeah.
I can imagine if you are a twin, that it's very annoying to be referred to as the twins all the time, because you are individuals that, you know, have your own thing going on. So I totally get that. But it's interesting, like, is Natasha going to dress them the same? Is she going to be one of those that kind of...
Gucci outfits, Gucci rompers or something?
Well, definitely something. I think she probably would get them to match, do you think?
I think so, and maybe people do. I don't know, unless they're so identical you need to help people know who is who. But it's only as their personalities, as you say, their characters and personalities come out, that's when you really get to see what makes them an individual. So.
Yeah, I think if I was a twin, I would find it hard, I think. I would make myself as different, purposefully as different as possible to the other twin. It's a very interesting dynamic, and I'm really intrigued by that. You know, when twins kind of feel the same thing, or like they could be like in different places of the world, but they still have the same thought at the same time. I find that extraordinary.
Quite worrying, I think, as well, I would find it. But yeah, it's amazing. But Marina, yes, we take your point. We understand. And our final email is, of course, from Anon of Ambridge with a question for Natasha. Now, Mally, I need to explain this to you. Anon of Ambridge, we don't know who they are, but they email in very regularly with strange questions. They appear to be someone in Ambridge.
Okay.
But here we go. Dear Auntie Natasha, I live in Ambridge and struggle to make friends and fit in. You seem to do much better than me, and I wonder if you could give me some tips on how to make friends. Thank you for your help. Anon of Ambridge, P.S. Your fruit juice is lovely. I buy it regularly.
Does it keep you regular? It probably does.
Let's not get Anon of Ambridge started on that.
Well, I think Natasha's advice to fit in would be, you know, be kind, treat others how you would like to be treated, have fun, and always insist on getting your way. I think that's how she rocks. But
perfect.
I think she's straight. You know, I just think, you know, be yourself. Yeah. And if people don't like you in Welsh, you say, oof, did they know what you'd say in Welsh? You know, who cares? You be yourself. And as long as you're happy with yourself, that's
oof,
great.
To know. Oof, to
oof, did they know? Oof, did they
know? Off to the note, right.
It just means, okay. You know, let people not like you, that's fine. Because not everybody's going to like everybody. So if you're having difficulty fitting in, continue to be yourself, is what I'd say. And then you would find the people that like you and think that you rock. That's what Natasha's advice would be, I think.
There you go, Anon. It doesn't get better than that. Well, those are the calls and the emails. Now on to Dumdy Book Dum. You're aware I host the QuickBook Reviews podcast. Well, I was interviewing Alexandra Potter, and of course, we started talking about The Archers. So Alexandra Potter, whose latest book is called One Good Thing, thank you for coming on Dum-de-Dum.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, The Archers has a particular significance, emotional significance for you, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. My dad, who sadly passed away 11 years ago now, he was a huge fan of The Archers. He would listen to it every day in his garden. In his garden shed. And I used to hear the music. And now when I hear the music, it really takes me back. And it also, it kind of makes me feel like my dad's still here. So it's got a really, it's just got such a really personal attachment to me as The Archers.
Is that a happy sort of comforting feeling, or is
yes
it, yeah it's yeah that's good
yeah it's a very, very comforting feeling. I love when I hear the music, it just takes me straight back. When I can hear the actors and the voices, I mean, I'm right back there with my dad in the garden shed in his garden for, I mean, pretty much, you know, my whole life he used to listen to The Archers.
Wonderful. Well, can you give us a bit of an elevator pitch for your lovely new book?
Okay, so my new book is called One Good Thing. And the idea behind it was that when life falls apart, all you need is one good thing to make life worth living again. And the story revolves around several characters. There's a woman that's got divorced. There's a little boy that's lost his mum. There's an old man whose wife's in a care home. And all these characters come together in a village in the Yorkshire Dales. And I've actually, the old man, you see him listening to The Archers. So I put that scene in. And it's just about how everybody, we all need connection. We all need to have community. And you know, there's a few little twists and turns, but I kind of wanted to write how all the little stories in life are actually the big stories, which is the Archers, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and the fact that you actually mention the Archers in the book, I mean, that's fantastic as well. Remind us of the publication date for that book.
It's being published in the UK on the 28th of April by Pan Macmillan.
Wonderful. Well, Alexandra Potter, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Mally, I'm interested. Can you remember the very first day in the studio?
I can. I think I was petrified because it's such an institution and you think everybody's kind of the read-through specifically. And I have, if there are a series of single beat words in a row, my eye can skip. So I have to really prep my work. So I'm not very good at sight reading, for example. I have to really do my homework. So I had done my homework. So I just thought, I'm going to be mega nervous. I'm probably going to stumble over some stuff. But actually, I just loved it. And they're just so, people are so welcoming. And there's enough time, you know, you don't feel, when you do the read-through, it's timed to see how long the episode is, so if it's a bit short, a bit long, and then we kind of cut as we go along, if you can, they're always constantly keeping an eye on how long or how short they are. But yeah, I just felt exhilarated, I think, after the first day, because it was exactly how I wanted it to be. You know, it was warm, friendly people, great text, just a wonderful train to step aboard. That's how I felt, and privileged.
Do they ever ask you to speed up or slow down a scene because they have to fit it in? It must be very hard to work with the set time.
I mean, I naturally speak very quickly anyway, so sometimes, you know, I say, was that too fast? Because I've got quite a naturally high rhythm. But no, rather than telling you to speed up or slow down, we'll just cut lines or add lines. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're adjusting your natural speed of talking. But I actually really like speaking quickly. So I have to watch with my accent and the speed that it's not too fast.
Oh, that's great. Well, now we've gone to Facebook and we need to say an how do to you to welcome Gillian, Ben, Lynn, Vicky and Stephen. So what has our Facebook group been talking about this week? Let's find out as we sit back for the roundup with our Katie.
Hey up my ducks, it's Katie here, at Katie Peeland on Twitter and Instagram. First of all, there was the Easter Bunny excitement. Yes, it was excitement. Sandra D. Jenkinson asked who saw that coming, and in her posts, lots of people have been adding Kathy's history, which is helpful for slightly newer listeners. When I say new, I mean within the last 6 or 7 years. Bernadette Cagnoni, Sarah Bailey and Jed Robinson all welcomed Kathy back. And our Witherspoon asked who recognised the voice prior to the rabbit head coming off and got mixed responses. Some did, some didn't. Our second hot topic was the delightful Rory. Melly McMerriweather pointed out how you can go off some folk. Jan Mitchell wondered when, or if, it'll ever dawn on him what a hypocrite he is after all his comments. And all Mia Fox had to say was, Alice, with the love heart eyes emoji. The week ended with the news of Grey Gables. Pam Delay's post said, a deal shark can check out any time he likes, but he will never leave. Grey Gables is such a lovely place, such a lovely place. And had us all singing Hotel California. Everyone else had mixed feelings. Leah Toff thought Roy was being harsh. Jed Robinson and Jonah Titchmarsh, as well as others, thought Oliver made a bad move. Keith Rawlins had quite a few various posts about this topic and also wondered if the golf course would stay open. Jacqueline Bertho asked who everyone thought the new 60% owner of Grey Gables was. Philippa Jen Manasseh and Bailey Whelan, as well as many more people, think it could be Justin, so let's just wait and see. In other news, Ian Bullock had a thought and pointed out that Vince has had to nip off to the toilet in the middle of conversations more than once, and wondered if he's detected a gentleman's waterworks problem plot developing, and lots of people offered their thoughts too. Keith Rawlins shared a very accurate picture of Freddie asking for DJ equipment. Sue Howlett spotted Lee doing Tai Chi just round the corner from her, and Tracy Brown spotted Rex's narrowboat in a bit of bother. Carolyn Wright wrote A Week in the Life of an Archer's Listener. It's fab. I especially like point number 35. Zoe Jane Battiscombe Scott, spotted in the penultimate episode of Killing Eve, listening to the Archers, is described as one of life's great joys. Jan Mitchell shared news about Annabelle Dowler winning a BAFTA for It Takes Two and shared a lovely photo. Last of all, Andrew Stainthorpe shared the sad news that Esma Wilson, who played Debbie Glover and later Joan Hood, passed away. As usual, welcome to the newbies. Make yourselves known, settle in with a cuppa and let us know your thoughts. Until next time, ta-ra!
Oh, thank you, Katie, and to everyone on the Dum-de-Dum Facebook group. Mally, just sort of one final question, really, about this bathroom cabinet that caused a lot of issues. Was that something that you had to envisage, or did they actually provide it for you?
I think, yeah, Natasha would have a pile of toiletries, a pile of cosmetics, you know, half full. She's kind of bought something else, hasn't finished it off. She's probably got about 12 shampoos, you know, 7 conditioners on the go. I think she would like more storage. I think Natasha was probably would think that a massive bathroom cabinet would be a great idea, just for her. So I think she'd like one per family member. But the fact that she, you know, it caused her to fall is not good. That's bad.
No, not good at all. The girl needs a dressing room, I think.
She needs her own wing. That's what she needs, yeah. Just for the toiletries.
Oh dear. Now our final part is our tweet along, but with Quentin away, I have enlisted an elite member of the tweet alongers, Stephen Bowden at Wenlock House on Twitter, to help us out this week.
Hello, it's Fry here. No, not that one. And now on Dumpty Dum, it's time for Tweet of the Week.
This week's top tweets all feature either the return of a long silent character, references to the sort of music Vince Casey likes, or both. So, in bronze medal position, we have GF Furness at GF Furness with Kathy Perks, silent for 9 years and now she won't shut up. In silver, we have Ian at Rutherian with You were working as a waitress in a cocktail bar. Not now, Ben. And in gold medal position, cue the fanfare, we have Ambridge Pony Club at Jen_J Stephen with It's me, it's Kathy, I've come home now. Oh, 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 will somebody get this zip? It's stuck. Congratulations to all three.
Stephen, you star. Thank you for doing that. It made me laugh.
And me. It's very good.
Don't forget, we're on Instagram at dumdydum. And, well, we start to wind down. So we say a huge thank you to all this week's contributors, our social media team, Shambridge for her voices, and our podcasting parents, Lucy V. Freeman and Roy Phil Brown. Mally, thank you so much for joining us today.
My absolute pleasure. I've had a really good time. So I hope more people will like Natasha. I like her.
I like it. They will. They will. You've shown everyone what a wonderful multidimensional person she is. And you've talked a lot more sense today than I have. So, no, it's been brilliant. I appreciate your time. Thank you ever so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Well, folks, thank you for listening. It's a bye-bye from us.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.